Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another member of the Trump White House team is now known, the president-elect announcing that longtime immigration hardliner Stephen Miller will be named Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy. Trump has also named New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik as his next U.N. ambassador and says he will tap former ICE Director Tom Holman as border czar, a post that doesn't need Senate confirmation. The Kremlin denying that Trump spoke with Vladimir Putin last week as Russia launches more attacks on Ukraine over the weekend.
Britain's military chief claiming the advances are coming at a huge cost, saying Putin is losing as many as 1,500 troops a day and that the number of dead or injured in this war could be as high as 700,000. Staggering losses.
That's ABC's Ian Pannell. President Biden at his final Veterans Day ceremony as Commander-in-Chief.
Present!
The president laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents generally voted to approve the vast number of school referendums on the ballot last week. In total, 120 school districts across the state turned to their community for additional funding, with 138 total referendum questions. Of the 138 questions, 108 were approved by voters in 92 of the 120 districts. Over a quarter of the school districts in Wisconsin went to referendum this year, which education officials say is proof that the state's public schools are being underfunded. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is again reminding residents to use local firewood this fall to help curb the spread of invasive species. According to DNR officials, moving untreated firewood to different areas is one of the most common ways invasive species like the spongy moth and emerald ash borer are spread. To combat that spread, the DNR has implemented a state spongy moth quarantine, prohibiting the movement of firewood to counties on Wisconsin's western border and banning firewood from more than 10 miles away in state parks. The Duluth Police Department has announced an arrest in connection to a string of home invasions last week. According to law enforcement authorities, 58-year-old Jeffrey Montana Undahl was arrested on Thursday afternoon after a third home invasion in as many days on Wednesday night. He was taken to the St. Louis County Jail and charged with multiple counts of burglary, assault, threats of violence, and kidnapping. Law enforcement authorities thanked residents in the neighborhood for their cooperation and vigilance during the investigation. The city of Ashland has removed a number of homeless camps from the Lakeshore area. According to city officials, at least five camps were cleaned out last week amid local complaints about safety from residents. Some residents told city officials that there were as many as 25 of the homeless camps in the area. The camps that were removed were on city property, and officials got permission to remove one that was on private property as well. Only one of the camps was occupied at the time, and the cleanups were focused on trash, not personal belongings. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Wisconsin wins at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with an 87-56 win over Appalachian State. The Mountaineers jumped out to an early lead before Wisconsin took over. Head coach Greg Gard.
The stretch in the first half of 15 straight possessions with stops. I think it's just guys gaining confidence with it. I think we've become more physical and more aggressive. The fact that they're getting better connected with new guys. But the defensive end, I thought we finally started to put some things together like we've been talking about and we'd shown in flashes, but not consistently over a stretch of time, so that's a good sign going forward.
NBA, the Bucks are at home tomorrow night against the Toronto Raptors. Milwaukee now 2-8 after losing yesterday to the Celtics, 113-107. Damian Lillard.
You want to win, especially a situation that we're in where you want to win games, you want to protect your home floor. We came out, you know, we had control of the game. Just got to be able to sustain what we were doing and understand what we did well, not have lapses and let-ups and give teams life.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With partly cloudy skies and crashing temps throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap at least a 5 to 10 degree wind chill on top of the cooler air. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
Now, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, is in the host chair for The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Jane says. Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We have a busy hour coming up for you. The domes are back in the news.
What?
The Mitchell Park domes in Milwaukee. There's a plan to save them.
Okay.
We'll kick that around in a little bit. After the 11:30 news, blue skies, baby.
Nothing but blue skies.
A lot of people heading over, leaving that one platform and joining another platform. I did that yesterday.
Oh.
I know. For me, that was, I felt brave.
I may have followed.
Oh. We'll talk about the migration from one social media platform to another. Coming up after the 11:30 news, we'll wrap up the hour, of course, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Volatile Odor Edition.
I feel like we should say it like... Volatile odor.
You can do that. I like that. We're going to start off, though, of course, it is Veterans Day.
Correct, yeah.
If you are a veteran, you have a veteran in your life, please thank them for us.
Yeah.
Thank them for their service. It's an important day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I found this article in Stars and Stripes yesterday, and you can find it at stripes.com, but we'll put this in our show notes as well. Volunteers needed to help uncover the personal stories of America's first veterans. So there are thousands and thousands of documents. There's about 100,000 documents, 2.4 million pages in files. And the government would like more volunteers to help them transcribe these old documents, which are in cursive.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody can read cursive anymore. And help preserve the stories. These are America's first veterans who fought in the Revolutionary War. So the goal is to finish this all in time for the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence in 2026.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So right now they've got about 4,700 volunteers who are tackling this, but they need more.
So you have to be able to read the handwriting.
You have to be able to read cursive.
Which isn't... Okay. Two things. Reading cursive, not that tough. Calvin, can you read cursive?
Yes. Okay. I will say... Like, if you or myself or Jane or my mom wrote in cursive, I could read it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, the Declaration of Independence.
It's tiny.
Would be a little difficult.
And they used different letters back then. Some letters meant, like, I believe the letter F could stand for S, if I'm not mistaken. Like, the way that letters just look. So, it's not just about being able to read handwritings, but it's also knowing
what they mean.
There's a certain amount of translation. And the reason, Calvin, I asked you. As our resident young person, is that I'm in charge of writing the list every week for the Laughs on Tap open mic. I'll make this connect. And I handwrite it out. And I always wrote it in cursive because that's my go-to way of writing.
Right.
I print on purpose. I cursive on purpose. for weeks, a couple weeks in a row, we had younger people in their mid-20s and younger who were hosting, whose job was to read my handwriting and say their name. I can't write in cursive anymore.
Because they can't read
They can't read my handwriting, not because of the penmanship, because they don't know how to read cursive. So I guess the question is, will you get like a crash course on understanding 18th century handwriting to give them the proper, or if it's like, here's what I've got, then someone way smarter than me goes, I see what you did there. I'll take it and I'll clean it up.
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
I'd love to do that.
Suzanne Isaacs and Nancy Sullivan are overseeing the project for the National Archives. She says, if anyone has the opportunity to really sit down and read some of these, you're going to get sucked in.
Yeah.
Some of these have really great stories, and they tell wonderful stories without think about this, without formal discharge papers, mm-hmm. most veterans had to try to prove their service mm-hmm. by describing what they went through. So many of these are filled with anecdotes that paint a portrait of what it was like for the colonial military service. Jacob Hickman's file, for example, shows he'd go home every other week to tend his crops. Andrew Gillespie volunteered with a horse from his uncle and carried dispatches from his officer to the printing office. Philip Morris detailed a battle in Rhode Island where troops had to fire chains from a cannon when they ran out of cannonballs.
Oh, my goodness.
The more than 83,000 pension files were stored within the War Department, now the Defense Department, for decades before making it to the National Archives. In the 70s, those files were scanned onto microfilm that was later digitized. But the original documents are more than 200 years old.
I mean, think about that. These young men, and because they were men, soldiers,
yes. again,
writing back home to their families, and their chief, they just wanted to live in a free country. Like, they wanted to shake off the reign of a king.
Right.
And they just wanted to live free and tend to their crops and live their life. That's the stuff that makes me get all, like, you know, teary-eyed when I think about America, when I think of those regular common folks who all they were doing was trying to serve a greater good. That's amazing to me.
Historians and genealogists often use these records to learn more about who took part in the battles.
Yeah.
And certain groups, like the Sons and Daughters of the American Revolution, can use those to prove their ancestors' service. The veterans at the time also had to prove they were in financial need of a pension. So some of the documents actually include their lists of all their household goods, their values, and the number of children that they had to support.
So this country has a real good history of making it really difficult for veterans. My goodness.
Goes back a long
yeah.
history of this. Apparently, tragically, we have a long history of this.
Yeah.
National Park Service recently began pitching the project to its pool of volunteers, again, hoping to get some of these personal stories in the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence and the early battles of the Revolutionary War. This is a great opportunity to tell a more complete and comprehensive American story as related to the American Revolution, according to Frank Barrows, senior advisor for the National Park Service. They provide windows into the lives of our first veterans and families from a first-person perspective. That's like the Ken Burns series.
Yeah.
Which was so good.
Heavy, though.
It was. It was very heavy. But the letters mm-hmm. told that whole story.
Oh, my gosh. The Civil War letters. No matter what show you're watching, even like the baseball letters, you just like, they speak in a different manner. They have the,
very much
the passion they have for these, the passion they have for whatever they're doing is undaunted. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. All these records are available online, so volunteers can transcribe them from home.
Yeah.
And if you can't read cursive, tagging the documents to make them easier to search is just important.
I don't know what that means, but
if you read enough of these, you'll realize there's an inconsistency with spelling. So by people tagging the correct spelling and the way we would like it tagged, then we're able to find all these records. If you decide to volunteer for this through the National Park Service, you can get a volunteer pass that will give you free access to all parks once you contribute 250 hours.
Oh, my goodness. That's cool,
but
too.
I can see where you would get really deeply into,
yeah.
into if you're into history.
Yeah.
This would be right up your alley.
I wonder if I just talked. Well, my nephew can't. He's 19. He can't.
He won't be able to read cursive.
He won't be able to read cursive. But he loves this stuff, though. This is just fascinating.
And isn't it?
It makes me think of something. And I for those listening, I apologize for making this political on a modern scale. And I've talked about this before. But what we were discussing here, the letters of these young soldiers, these farmers, they're not even like soldiers at that point. They're right. Farmers who are just trying to help their
country,
colonies.
Yeah, their colonies.
Rebel against a king, committing treason to be free. And anybody in this country who calls himself an American who says we shouldn't help Ukraine. I know, I apologize for making what I'm doing right now, but I think about this more times than I care to admit. Here is a country who was free, and all they want is their freedom, and it's being encroached upon by a man who wants to control them. There shouldn't be a bigger directive on our foreign policy plate than to help Ukraine secure victory, secure freedom, and make sure that nobody comes in and tries to take that from them, because that's what we fought and died for many times. That is... Sorry, I'm very, very nervous on what's going to happen to Ukraine in the coming months and years.
Well, and I don't just disagree with you, and I think there are a lot of people who share your concern about that. I do take a little solace after our conversation we just had with Matt Randolph.
Yeah,
that there are still adults in the room who understand how destabilizing that would be, not just for the U.S. but for the global world order. If we allow Vladimir Putin just to roll into Ukraine and take it over.
I hope they stay in the room.
There's that.
So, but this is an amazing project.
It is an amazing project. And we are going to put all the links in our show notes. So if you're interested, you can volunteer for the project. There's a website that you can go to, and it's called the Revolutionary War Pension Files. So I just think it would be a fascinating way to spend a couple of hours a day. And do some transcribing from home.
Put your phone down. Don't doom scroll. Scroll history.
It's a message directly to me.
I mean, Jane, you might be home alone doing it. We're all home alone doing it. So
home alone doom scrolling.
Or sequel.
Also, we have a great story on our civic media website as well called A Wisconsin Father's Mission to Reunite Military Families. Larry Jackson started the Ben Jackson Foundation to help young service members ease the cost of traveling home after his own personal loss. So this is for service men and women overseas. Maybe they have an elderly relative who has died and they'd like to get home for the funeral. They help them cover those funds.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. So we have that on our civic media website. Go to civicmedia.us. Another really great piece from Terry Barr. All right. Stay with us. When we return, there's a plan. Again, for the Milwaukee Mitchell Park Domes.
Not just a concept?
It's a plan. we'll discuss next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's work money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you gotta know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, people are leaving that platform and going to another. I did yesterday.
Are you leaving Twitter?
I don't think I will leave it completely just because I still find it useful. But, well, we'll talk about that more after the 11:30
news.
Oh,
yeah, sorry. I'm looking at the wrong part of the schedule.
If you are migrating over to another social media platform where the skies are blue, we'll be talking about that coming up after the 11:30 news. We did mention, though, that, yes, there is a plan, once again, to repair Milwaukee's Mitchell Park domes. This is from WPR, Evan Casey, with the story today. A $134 million plan to renovate the Mitchell Park domes just got a boost from the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. They unanimously approved a budget amendment last week to allocate $30 million that would renovate the domes and add amenities to the historic landmark. That still gives them a pretty big chunk of change they got to raise.
$101
million. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And hopefully they will. The domes are an interesting topic for my friends. Some of my, like, I personally love the domes. I think they're great. Yeah. I think they should be renovated. I don't think they should be gotten rid of. I have friends, and they're not like penny-pinching fiscal conservative Republicans either. I have some of the most liberal friends like, get rid of them.
Tear them down.
And their anger always exceeds their point to make me think, oh, maybe you're coming with good. They're just so mad about it. I don't understand truly. I think the Mitchell domes are amazing. And I'd love to see this refurbish go through, especially if you're talking about new amenities. Can you imagine what they would do? I've heard them say they would have it'd be like more smooth panel windows, like a kind of a refreshed design on them, along with other things, like maybe just like a, I don't know, food court, a cool like food truck park.
While they're talking about expanding the gift shop,
yeah,
and doing some other things, and also for the grounds itself, because that's a big piece of property.
It's huge.
It really is. Yeah. I used to live in a flat right across the street from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really large piece of property. So the Friends of the Domes in September presented their plan. It would add a new cafe, add a nature learning center, which is a great idea. I can't believe they haven't done that before now. An outdoor garden, expand the gift shop, and renovate nearby Mitchell Park.
Yes.
Which is, it's huge.
Mitchell Park is a park that we do not talk about a lot, I think, because it's on a weird part of the city. It's like off the free, like you see the domes and you're quote unquote so close to the lake. It's not one you think about. You don't think about Mitchell Park that much.
As a park.
Yeah.
Right. You associate the domes with it, but not necessarily all the parkland associated with it. Yeah. I just have a lot of fond childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
of the domes.
Yeah.
That was something we always did as a family. But again, I grew up in Hartford as a city of Milwaukee resident.
Yeah.
When's the last time I can't tell you the last time. Well, no, some girlfriends and I went last year.
See, there you go.
We did. It had been a long time since we'd been.
Jane Matinere, friend of the domes. You also can buy plants there. They have a plant shop.
I bet they have a great plant shop.
Last time I went there with some friends, my friend walked away with like five plants, like little ones. You can take like succulents and whatnot. It's not like designer or boutique, but you can go there and buy plants. And that's good for the local economy.
Well, and they've hosted all kinds of great things, too. I went to a big train toy train exhibition.
I believe they do concerts there, too.
It was like, huge.
Yeah.
They used to do certainly weddings.
Yes.
I would imagine that's still a pretty big thing.
It's very expensive.
Is it expensive?
Oh, yeah. And
well, but again, they've been, the maintenance has been deferred for so long. Yeah. So many things in Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott Walker. And others.
Boom.
It's not just him, but there were others where they just nothing got fixed for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hearing a plan to fix / save / destroy the domes for like a decade now.
Oh,
and then it went away. And I'm like, oh, I guess we're not doing anything with them now. So, I mean, if they can raise $101 million, I mean, there's a guy who bought a whole social media platform for a few billion. I'm sure he could.
I'm sure he's really concerned about things like that.
What are the inside of the domes? We could just make it look like Mars.
That could work.
Yes.
Actually, that could work. The Friends Group says it will fund the project through a combination of federal and state tax credits, a capital campaign, private donations, and federal and state grants. But getting the county support, again, that $30 million, was a key part of moving forward. We've heard from various entities they wouldn't be willing to go forth with this if they didn't have a county commitment.
No, you got to, I mean, unless you want to sell that part of the land off to someone private or to a group, or like a private equity group, which I don't suggest doing because they would just destroy it, you have to have municipal buy-in. You have to have the local government buying into it or else you got nothing there. It's just not the same. The domes would look different if it was Dan and Stan quality polling and taxidermy domes, just look different.
Yeah, it certainly, that would certainly change the makeup of the domes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would like to see them get saved. I would like to see them get utilized. And I would just encourage folks, if you do live in the area, go visit them.
If you got a niece or a nephew or a small kid or a grandkid, take them there. It's
especially as the weather gets colder.
Yeah, and it's also like it's a couple hours. And in Christmas time.
Yeah, Christmas is a great time to go to the domes.
Yes, big fan of the domes.
All right, we're pushing for the domes.
We're pro domes.
Go domes, go.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted on that. We have news coming up next, and then have you been migrating from one social media platform to another? We want to hear from you. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. In the wake of last week's election, black students across the country have reported receiving racist texts, including at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. According to University of Wisconsin police officials, the texts referencing slavery were sent out nationwide on Thursday. Law enforcement authorities do not believe there is a genuine threat to anyone, but federal officials are investigating the incident and local authorities are asking any students who received the text or feel threatened to contact the University of Wisconsin Police Department for support. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the state will receive a portion of the nearly $1.4 billion opioid settlement with the grocery chain Kroger. According to Attorney General Call, Wisconsin will receive nearly $21 million for opioid abatement with payments beginning next year. In total, the state is expected to receive nearly $800 million from various opioid-related settlements. As part of the settlement, Kroger also agreed that its pharmacies will need to monitor and report on suspicious activity with opioid prescriptions. Law enforcement authorities are still working to determine a motive after five people were found dead in an apparent murder-suicide in Duluth. According to authorities, 46-year-old Anthony Nephew shot and killed his previous partner, Aaron Abramson, and their 15-year-old son, Jacob, as well as his wife, Catherine, and 7-year-old son, Oliver. Nephew was found dead with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. While a full investigation into Nephew's motive is underway, law enforcement authorities say he had displayed a pattern of mental health issues. Volunteers at CHUM in Duluth are beginning to prepare Thanksgiving boxes for area residents in need this season. According to officials from the organization, non-perishable food items were packed into more than 300 Thanksgiving boxes to be passed out to local families, along with turkeys and pumpkin pies. The organization has been preparing the Thanksgiving boxes for over a decade thanks to dedicated volunteers. The boxes will be handed out closer to Thanksgiving so local families can fully enjoy the holiday. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the three new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us three shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With partly cloudy skies and crashing temps throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap at least a 5 to 10 degree wind chill on top of the cooler air. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabo.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Some kind of star. Just who do you think you are? Take it like a man, baby, if that's what you are, 'cause I'm moving on.
Good, good. good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Park, a radio park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the end of the show, we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Volatile Odor Edition.
Volatile Odor
Edition, yes. And thank you, Andrew, by the way. If you have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Our friend Andrew from Maine sent us a great This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We'll do it tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. That's what I thought.
Yeah, okay, we'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, yep. So thank you for that, Andrew. And again, if you stumble over some article that you think would qualify for Tisbat, absolutely send it in.
Or anything.
Anything.
Anything you think we should be covering, people we should be talking to, stories, that kind of thing, you can email that, janesays@civicmedia.us.
Absolutely. Wanted to talk a little bit about this, and I'd love to hear from you if you have been migrating from Twitter. I saw a lot of people over the weekend saying, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done here. Elon did enough damage, and I don't want him to, I just don't want to be here. And so a lot of people that I follow have migrated over to Blue Sky.
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen that as well. Celebrities and non-celebrities alike, just, they're like.
There's a lot of historians that I follow,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of historians, some authors, news outlets, things like that, that I follow on Twitter. But if they're going to be on a different platform that is maybe moderated a little bit better, because Elon doesn't, nobody moderates anything on Twitter anymore. That's why there's so much hateful, horrible stuff going around.
Their algorithm is insanity.
Yeah. If you follow the For You, it's people you've never followed before, never heard of before. Yeah. It's just in the, how long has he owned it?
Less than a year, I think.
Is it less than
2 years? Calvin, do you know how long Elon's owned Twitter?
I want to say he bought it in 2022. I'll look it up.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's done an awful lot of damage. I thought it was longer than just a year.
Yeah, because when he first bought it, which, by the way, he didn't really want it, and then he put himself in a position where he had to buy it for $44 billion when
right.
the whole thing was worth like $5 or $7 billion. Like, just, but don't forget, he rich.
He'll always be rich.
He'll always be rich. And it was fine, quote unquote, fine for a little while. And then as soon as Elon took over and got a little more into the business, all of a sudden these people who were banned, the Dan Bonginos and Andrew Tates and Donald Trumps, were all let back onto that site to spread their vitriolic anti-woman, anti-immigrant, anti-everything poison.
Yeah, at least from what I've seen on Blue Sky, and I just signed up yesterday. I just got on there yesterday. It certainly seems to be a gentler place to be, which I think a lot of folks are looking for. Yeah. Tiffany from River Falls, listening on WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
Tiffany says, I deactivated Facebook November 6th because I couldn't handle the negative attitudes of so many. It may be temporary. It may not. I still have Instagram, which I have much more selective, where I have a more selective friends list. Should I join Threads or another platform to help keep in touch with advocacy and action? What I found, Tiffany, when I went to Blue Sky yesterday was people are putting together starter packs for new people on Blue Sky.
Hmm.
So they have a list of recommended people for you to follow.
That's great.
It really is great. And so a lot of the folks that I follow on Twitter, I'm finding now on Blue Sky.
I have to, like, I don't know what to, my social media, Facebook is fine. No one who disagrees with me isn't there, but people know who I am. So if I say something on there about my opinion, they just leave me alone because they know that I'm not going to handle them well on social media because I'm going to be honest with them.
Right.
I'll tell them, yesterday I posted on Facebook, I said, if you believe your body, my choice is a mantra or even remotely funny, block me right now. I never want to see that on you. I will block you immediately. Period.
For folks who don't know what that is.
Yeah.
This is going around. We can thank Nick Fuentes for this.
A admitted white supremacist.
Yes. Admitted white supremacist said with Donald Trump's reelection that, hey, ladies, your body, my choice. ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. And now they're saying it was a joke, and Republicans are saying that's disgusting. No, just own it. At least Nick Fuentes has the guts to say it out loud.
The one good response I saw to that was, if anybody says to me, your body, my choice, I'm going to say, your body, my freezer.
But Instagram is increasingly difficult because the stuff that's coming across my Instagram is not things. And then I get upset and I comment, and that's my fault. I know that.
Don't engage.
I know, but I can't help it. Some of them are so dumb. But I have also joined Blue Sky as well. And it's quieter.
It just feels gentler.
Yeah. It was started by Jack Dorsey, who was
started Twitter
as a decentralized social media platform. He wanted to connect all of them in some way to allow all of the social media networks to exist on their own. But then Blue Sky would be like the connective tissue, I guess. I don't think it's really done that, but it's still a nice for it's a Threads. Good.
I tried Threads for a couple of days and I didn't like it.
I mean, honestly, at this point with those social media websites, I just go on there, I start an account. So I am Greg Bach is always taken by me. All of my social media, whether it's Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, I am Greg Bach. But I went to Blue Sky and I just started scrolling. I'm like, it's almost like that the dawn of America. Little birds chirping around. Right, right. It's okay, Greg.
It's like being in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Compared to Twitter. Calvin, have you started a different social media account?
I have Threads, and I will say I haven't took any time to follow people or curate it, and I don't ever check it. But in the off chance that I did, it's kind of a garbage platform.
Threads. Like,
yeah, it's not good. There's just every single post I see, okay, well, maybe like 4 in every 5 posts I see is a bot post.
Yep.
Or it's just a spam account, like phishing post. So yeah, I'd say maybe Zuck will fix it, but stay away from Threads for now.
I do not think he will. I think he started Threads to poke at Elon, because when Threads happen, that's when that whole Elon's gonna fight Mark Zuckerberg in the ring, and that's gonna be a thing and blah blah blah. And then he started Threads.
Actually, I forgot about that.
Right. And then Threads comes along, and there were all these aspects of the site that you couldn't do versus Twitter, and it just seems to be there. Like, and it's like, because it's connected to Facebook and Instagram and Threads, you can post on all three. And as Calvin's, same thing here. I check my Threads account maybe once a week. And when I do, and it actually comes through on my Instagram as well, I get bots. And they're just women who are like, hey, I'm single. Want to talk? Like, it's not enjoyable. It's just not enjoyable there either.
Is there a male equivalent of that bot? Because they're avoiding me like the plague. Well, I'm just curious.
Now that you've said it out loud and your phone is listening to you, enjoy all the men going, hello, Jane, I like to spend sexy time with you.
Are you single?
Are you single, lady?
PJ on the live stream says Reddit is cool. I have never, ever been on Reddit.
I can't do Reddit.
No?
Reddit, no. It is too much. Forgive the sentence I'm about to say, but I refer to it as the place the internet went to throw up in. There's so much information there, and it seems impossible to navigate.
Calvin?
I am a big fan of Reddit. It's the front page of the internet, Greg. That's actually one of their tag. I don't know if they still use that tagline, but they used to use that tagline, the front page of the internet.
I knew that, Calvin. You know why? Because you said it like, Greg, it's the front page of the internet.
But yeah, Reddit is, I think it's a really, it's kind of something you have to curate, because it's built on subreddits.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm in like subreddits for like a sci-fi reading subreddit, and then people make posts in that subreddit. And like you can see it if you're not in the subreddit, but if you're in the subreddit, then it appears on your wall. And
that sounds really confusing.
And
you
if
guys.
You move up higher, you become a Redditor. It's all about what kind of puns you can do on the word Reddit. Yeah. I will read a Reddit post if it's singularly posted somewhere, but I have never scrolled into Reddit because it just feels like the corn maze that has no end. And I just, it's very,
there's no
very
end to the thread.
No end to the thread. the front page keeps going. And I will say this right now, and I know I'm doing this for selfish reasons. I will never leave Twitter because there are celebrities who follow me, and it makes me feel very good about my. It makes me feel good about myself.
A little ego fluff is always good.
If Missy Elliott followed you on Twitter, you'd stay there too. We'd all stay there. She's amazing. She's a gift.
Andrew texting in, so can I find I Am Greg Bach on MySpace?
No. Unfortunately, my MySpace page is long gone. My top eight is decimated. I think about that often. MySpace, what a wonderful place. I'm starting to sound like a dreamy Donald Trump. MySpace was the best space. It was the greatest place to be friends.
I didn't spend much time on that. I got really heavily invested in Facebook.
Well,
and then in 2019 was when I cut the ties with Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like,
I don't miss it at all.
If you don't need social media, you should cut it out. Like, I have to have social media to a certain extent.
Sure. Well, but, we all do, actually, because of what we do.
Yeah, and I just think that it's funny to me because right now, Calvin, it's safe to say that, like, the most popular social media website for the youngins, the Gen Zs and the Gen Ys, would be TikTok. Am I correct, Calvin?
Yes.
Okay. So to me,
more so than any other platform, it's TikTok for the younger folks.
Well, everything is just so. I would say every platform has a place. Well, I guess Facebook. My generation doesn't really use Facebook, but Instagram and TikTok kind of go hand in hand. Like most people use both because I don't know. Instagram's just kind of like, well, you post pictures and that kind of thing, and then TikTok's more of like. I don't know. Like, I guess TikTok's more of just like where you go to scroll.
Well, and that's
whereas Instagram's like where you go to like see what your friends are doing.
Well, Instagram has their own version of TikTok, which is Reels. And when I tell people I look at Instagram Reels versus TikTok, people will say to me, it's because you're older. I don't know why that's a thing. I have TikTok. I'm on TikTok. But what I find really funny is that one day Calvin is going to be saying he'll be in his 30s, just living his life. Painting Warhammer figurines, loving it. He'll say to someone younger, be like, hey, are you on TikTok? And then you go, no one's on TikTok anymore. we're on Fresh Skies or blah, something, blah. Yeah, something that's like way cooler.
The newest thing. The new cool kid thing.
All you have to do is jam this microchip in your eye and you're on the internet.
Scott from Shorewood, I'm still waiting for folks to find me on classmates.com.
Oh my God. I get emails from them and LinkedIn all the time. You know who's checking you out? I'm like, nobody.
Oh, that is really funny.
Scott from Shorewood, who made our
mascot.
Our mascot.
I know.
He is here.
Absolutely. He's in with us every single day.
Yep.
We weren't going to leave him behind.
Putz de Leon.
Well, and we would. I'm just curious. Have you migrated away from a social media account since the election? You can always check in with us at 855-752-4842. All right. One more break to go. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Volatile Odor Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project. Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us. Please call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have news coming up in just a little bit, followed by the one and only and the probably tired Todd Alba doing double duty today. Todd is filling in Fieldham this morning for Pat Kreitlow. Yep. And he will be doing Pat's show tomorrow as well from 6 to 8 a.m. And then Todd back at noon today from noon to 2, followed by Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4, and Dominic Salia, 4 to 6 p.m. Don't forget to join Earl Ingram in the morning, starting at 8 o'clock.
Correct.
It is 11:52, Calvin. That means it is time for today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the BBC. Crystal Hayes, headline reads, mystery solved behind blobs washing ashore in Canada. Canadian officials earlier this autumn started an investigation as photos of white blobs washing up along the Newfoundland coast went viral after being spotted along the shores of Placentia Bay. There was speculation that the substance that some compared to dough, they thought it might have been fungus, mold, or wax. In the end, Memorial University chemistry professor Chris Kozak analyzed it and found it was man-made and some type of synthetic rubber. He ultimately found the blobs aren't toxic and they're safe to handle, though they do carry, quote, a volatile odor.
And because he's English, he said volatile odor.
Odor. O-D-O-U-R.
Yeah, there's a U in there, baby.
Professor Kozak ran a series of tests with graduate students. It was called Project Unknown Glob, which I kind of love just that's in and of itself.
Very English. It's like, what is it? It's an unknown blob. There we go. Glob.
Glob.
That's what you call it.
Project Unknown Glob. But they're not toxic. But apparently they're smelly. He thinks the substance is a PVA composite found in adhesives like glue and some nail polish coatings. They still have no idea where the globs originated. They are concerned that there's a bunch of these now lying across the bottom of the ocean. Because he has come across hundreds and hundreds of globs. Big globs, little globs.
The biggest globs.
The biggest best globs. About 15 centimeters wide.
Oh, mother glory.
Professor Kozak's telling the Guardian newspaper substantial amounts of globs might be on the bottom of the Atlantic. And his concern is it could be mistaken by fish for food, which it's not.
There is a lot of newsworthy information here, but it also does feel like it was a slow news day at the BBC.
Let's get on the glob story.
The unknown stinky glob story. Let's do that one. We've been holding that one since 2018.
If only Monty Python were still a group.
Oh.
They could take this glob story to the to the next level.
Just love the idea. Just, Project Stinky Glob or Project Unknown Glob.
Project like, Unknown Glob.
I like Project Stinky Glob better.
I just now I want to kind of take a class with this guy because that's pretty funny.
Oh my gosh.
Project Unknown Glob. Globs not toxic, safe to handle, but with a volatile odor. So you are warned if you're on the coast of Newfoundland. Keep your eyes open. Keep your nose open.
Keep your nose open. You'll know it by the smell. Go ahead and touch it, but just don't eat it. Just
wear a mask.
Wear a mask. Oh, Jane's telling people to wear masks again. Oh, no.
That's for tomorrow. that wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Coming up tomorrow on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 from the recombobulation area. He has written a new column looking back at the election results, and you can find that at the recombobulation area. Highly encourage you to subscribe to that. He is award-winning and really a fantastic writer.
Lots of awards.
Yeah, tons and tons of awards. Dr. Kristen Lierley, our friend, will be here at 11 o'clock. We're going to check in with her. She did not win her bid in the 8th Congressional District, but she's a pretty positive human being. I can't keep that lady down.
No, and if there's a social media follow.
Dr. Lierley?
Dr. Lierley, because for someone who just lost a very competitive race, she's like... Doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but we're keeping going. We're not going to forward. It's just nothing but the positive energy you've come to know and love of Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Absolutely. So if you need a little pick-me-up, join us tomorrow.
Yep.
Join us tomorrow. Dr. Lierley here at 11:06. And, of course, we'll wrap it up again with a tisbet. News is coming up next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba. Give him some love.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and talk about Veterans Day 2024. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.